Righto, this is National Safe Boating Week, a story, of course, that's been played out, sadly, it looks like, with serious consequences here in South Australia. A couple of gentlemen who know all about it join us on the program right now. The Media Manager for the Department of Infrastructure and Transport, Paul Kermode, and Todd Graham, the Manager of Boating Safety and with the Department of Infrastructure and Transport. Paul and Todd, good afternoon to you both and welcome, gentlemen.
Good afternoon, thank you.
Now, fellas, Paul, if you will, as the media manager for the department, tell us this Safe Boating Week, what does it encompass?
Well, it's the first time there's a really nationally focused campaign around just focusing on safe boating and what people can do to make sure they enjoy their time on the water safely. It's supported by a group called the Australian New Zealand Boating Education Group.
Yeah.
And we're pretty proud to support it. And basically what they're trying to do is instill in people seven simple steps they can do before they set off on their boating trip or their boating excursion activity. The first one of those is know it. Just knowing what the safe limits of your vessel, where you should be going, and it's appropriate for what you're trying to do. The second one is service it, making sure that you're a responsible boat owner, maintaining it regularly, servicing it, and having the right safety shirt. Checks, make sure everything's ship shape when you go out.
Yeah.
Pack it. And this one's a very, very important one. Making sure you've got the right safety equipment for where you're going. And that's different depending on what kind of vessel you've got and where you're going, whether that's in open waters or in closed waters. And it's also very important to check it. And that means checking the weather. Make sure you're going out at the right time and the right place. If conditions are looking a little bit hairy, if you're in doubt, don't go out. Plan it. So that's about when you go out, just letting people know where you're going, what time you expect to be back, and if you can, log on and log off with Marine Rescue. Learn it. And now this is a very important one as well. It's about making sure you know the rules and the laws that keep everyone safe. As much fun as it is to go out boating, we all do have a responsibility to make sure that we do it safely for ourselves and other people who are out on our waterways. And where this is, if we could maybe just reinforce one over all the others, this would be the one. Make sure you're wearing the right life jacket. Absolutely the most important piece of safety equipment that you can have on any kind of boat. There's different ones depending on where you're going or what kind of boat you're on, your age and so forth. But if you happen to get into trouble on the water, having the right kind of life jacket and wearing it is the best way to make sure that you do get out of that safely.
It's there's so many questions to be raised. This is National Safe Boating Week. Todd Graham. Todd, how many boating deaths have there been in recent years in South Australia?
In recent years? I don't have the figures exactly in front of me. We've been lucky in South Australia to not have too many. Paul, do you have the figures for that?
I do. So from 2007, these are the figures, most recent figures we've got. It's just over 30, so about 32 people have died in boating incidents, which is more than we would like, clearly. The thing to hammer home out of that is that only five of those people were wearing a life jacket.
Only five of the 32, so, really?
So as important as all the other things are, making sure that you're going out at the right time, it's not too bad conditions, that your boat's in good order. There are times when conditions just spring up on you really quickly and unexpectedly, and all of a sudden you can find yourself in a bit of trouble. If you're wearing a life jacket and it's the right life jacket for where you are, that is 100% the best way that you can get out of what can be a pretty hairy situation in the best way possible. It's not 100% guaranteed, but it is absolutely the best way that you can get out of a situation safely.
Paul, this is a question from Paula, and she says, I don't know if the gentleman will be prepared to discuss this, but she said, it looks like the Tony Higgins may have drowned, sadly, and all this that. So, who actually gave him permission to go out again? Because Paula says, we were led to believe that his boat, his wooden boat, wasn't in good condition, and he perhaps didn't have all of the necessary safety procedures on board. Was there somebody that should have put their hand up and said, no, you can't go out to sea again?
Well, I think it's probably not the right time or place to be talking about that specific incident right now. We're still waiting on that to play out and see what that looks like. What I would say is that whatever has happened there, And incidents like that, it just does reinforce how important it is to go through these steps to make sure that you are doing the right thing when you set out on the water, and to have the right safety equipment, particularly those the right life jacket, the right safety equipment, be it the emergency beacons or the flares. It's only important, it's not important for the vast majority of time when you go out there, potentially, but when you need it, you want to make sure that you have absolutely the right equipment on board. And again, wearing life jacket is something that we'd really like to hammer home as being of the utmost importance.
I'm surprised when you say that of the 32 deaths, only five people were wearing life jackets. Goodness me! Yeah, what?
A little bit, Tony. It just reminds me, as we were just before we started this segment, the Think Road Safety message about wearing seatbelts. You know, it's such a simple thing to do, but it can have such a big impact on if you do get into an accident or into trouble on the water, making sure that you get out of it in a better way.
We're talking to a couple of gentlemen. This is a National Safe Boating Week. We're talking to Paul Kermode and Todd Graham. Todd, are boating licences needed in this day and age? Does it depend upon the type of boat and the length of the boat and the size of the boat, or is it mandatory that you actually have a boating licence before you head out into the Gulf?
Yes, it is mandatory to have a boat licence for all powered craft in South Australia. Now, the size and type doesn't matter. But as soon as it's got an engine and it's powered, you'll need to have a licence to operate it.
Right. And somebody, this is from Eric, he said, I've never had a boat, would love to have one now that I'm retired, thinking seriously about doing it. All right, Eric, good luck with that. He said, are there classes available where you can actually go and attend and learn how to manoeuvre and control and handle the boat?
One of the best classes or courses that the department would recommend is the Volunteer Marine Rescue Groups do classes in seamanship and small boat handling and things like that. A lot of other yachting clubs and things like that around the state, they also do some practical boat handling and small boat operators as courses as well.
Right, okay. So those courses are available for somebody like Eric, who's just recently retired and loves the idea of a boat but has never had one before and thinking, oh, hang on a minute. So I gather that some members of the family are not keen on him doing it, but he just loves the idea. What are the... the stretch of water that we hear about, there's a couple of stretches of water, especially the one down near the mouth of the Murray, regarded by some people as some of the most treacherous waters in Australia. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, all waters can be treacherous at the right time or if you're not prepared. If you're not carrying the right safety equipment for the waters that you're operating, they can be, if something goes wrong, they can be quite treacherous. It doesn't need to be in a place where there's big swells or big oceans. And if you're unprepared, then they'll actually be quite dangerous to be going boating.
If you've got a question for either of the gentlemen, Paul or Todd, on this National Safe Boating Week, by all means, you're more than happy to give us a ring on 8223 0000, that number of ours. How is the department actually supporting this National Safe Boating Week, fellas?
Well, we're doing, this is part of it, just talking about boating safely and the things that people can do to make sure that they enjoy their time on the water safely. Todd and his team have been out and about both locally or metropolitan-wise, and they're going out to some of the regional boat ramps as well, just to talk to people out there and let them know about what they can be doing and what we're doing for Boat Safety Week and just about safety on the water generally. So, they've got a full schedule for this week, and they're getting out and spreading the message there, which is terrific. So if you see them, certainly please go say hello and ask any questions that you might have with guys.
Todd, what are some of the most common mistakes when people go out? Is it overcrowding? Is it not planning the route carefully? Is it not making sure that there's enough life jackets on board? Not having the necessary equipment if you were to get into trouble? What are some of the common mistakes that people make?
I think the most common mistake that we see with boating is most people are particularly safety conscious. No one particularly goes out there to be unsafe. Mm. But what we do find is people become a little bit complacent. You know, you've been boating for a long time, you've got all your safety equipment, and you know what's on board, but how often do you check it? So checking that safety equipment, and especially things that expire, such as flares, and these days, with having inflatable life jackets, inflatable life jackets need to be serviced. So people need to be going through, and we need to be constantly looking at all of our equipment on our boats. That tends to be the biggest problem that we see in the field. That most people have got everything, but there might be expired items. They're not looking after it. They're not servicing it, and so on and so forth.
Monique poses a question with an email. Thank you, Monique. On air at 5AA.com.au, nearly a quarter to two. She says, I love the idea of it, she said, and the waters are just terrific and all that sort of thing. But she said, what frightens the heck out of me, and I've been saying this to my partner now for some years, he's keen to get a boat, sharks. She said, how prevalent are sharks in the waters of ours? We hear that they're horrific up on the far north Queensland coast and areas of New South Wales. What about in the Gulf here in South Australia? Are sharks prevalent?
Well, I'm not probably the greatest shark expert to be talking to, but look, in Australia we have sharks. It's one of those things of part and parcel about living in a place like we have. I believe there's certain times a year that they'll be more prevalent in certain areas, but if you're on a boat and it's a size and it's capable of being in the waters that you're operating, you shouldn't have any problems at all.
Paul, you mentioned before means rules. So there are actually, when you're out in the boat and you think, well, you've got plenty of room and there's nobody else around, but there are rules that you've got to adhere to when you're actually in charge of a boat. Is that right?
Absolutely. And it's probably one Todd can talk to more eloquently than what I can. But there's part of that responsibility I've talked about before is to know what you're supposed to be doing and when. And there's rules around times when you need to be wearing a life jacket, for example, when it's what they call a heightened risk, so if the weather conditions are bad or if you're boating alone, those kind of things. But Todd, you might be able to potentially add to that about the rules and laws that people need to know when they're boating.
Look, there's a lot of rules, I mean, even with licensing and so on and forth, but those ones particularly around life jackets and life jacket wearing, all persons on board vessels 4.8 and under need to wear a life jacket at all times. And then there's some rules in there for our kids as well. So for all children 12 years and under need to be wearing a life jacket at all times on vessels 12 metres and under at the times of that they're on an open deck. So if you've got a yacht or something like that and you're down in below in your cabin, or potentially sleeping or whatever you're doing, you don't have to wear your life jacket then, but as soon as you're up on open deck, you need to be wearing your life jacket.
And the
times of heightened risk are night time, so everyone on board, all vessels need to wear a life jacket at night time. There's a storm warning or weather warning, if you're operating alone, when crossing a bar, and if you break down. If you break down, everyone on board must put a life jacket on.
Right. In a moment or so, we'll talk to Don up at Stonyfield, who's got a question about the cost of making a boat safe. Don, if you can hold on for a moment or so, we'll be back in a tick. It's just on 13 minutes to 2 now.
See Agostino Mitsubishi for the best deals, best service and best experience. Helping 5AA bring you the very best in sports. Agostino Mitsubishi, Nailsworth and Elizabeth. Agostino.com.au.
As an audiologist, when I come across people with hearing loss like yours, I suggest options such as... and will cost you no more than dollars.
How much?
Well,
sorry?
Some in the audiology industry don't want you to hear everything. But at Specsavers, what you hear is what you get. Like upfront pricing on top of the range hearing aids with no hidden fees. Sounds good? To book your free 15-minute hearing check or find a store near you, visit specsavers.com.au/hearing.
The largest Harvey Norman clearance store in Australia is now open at Marion with electrical, furniture, bedding, outdoor and flooring. Big brand name runout models, supplier surplus, last year's models, scratch and dent, refurbished, factory seconds and new. Come and see the Harvey Norman clearance store at Marion for great deals store-wide. 4,000 square metres of electrical, furniture, bedding, outdoor and flooring with new stock arriving weekly. Open 7 days. Look for the building with the big red clearance signs at 919 Marion Road, Marion.
It's just on 12 minutes to 2. It makes sense to protect your loved ones with a fully underwritten life cover. And you can do just that for a lot less by becoming a member of the 50 Up Club. That's right, at the 50 Up Club, you can get a 20% lifetime discount on life cover with Noble Oaks My Protection Plan. This is a 20% discount for as long as you keep your cover going. And because it's fully underwritten, there's a greater certainty at claim time. That's important too. So look after yourself and your loved ones and get a great deal by heading to the 50upclub.com right now. And remember, if you join to the 50 Up Club, it's cost and obligation free. Any advice provided is general in nature and doesn't consider your individual circumstances. You've got to read the PDS, the product disclosure statement, just to make sure the product is right for you. But the details and the good details are available at the 50upclub.com.
It's incredible. Over 70% of tickets in the Hospital Research Foundation Home Lottery have already been sold and they won't last long. Don't miss your chance at the triple treat. Two fully furnished grand prize homes are up for grabs. Plus, your tickets stay in the draw for the $1 million early bird prize. With over 15,000 prizes, your chances of winning a prize are 1 in 15. Order your tickets now. Visit homelottery.com.au. Proceeds improve the lives of every South Australian. Licence 13881.
At Spotlight, a window's what you make it. Save a massive 40% off all made-to-measure curtains, including sheer curtains. So you can warm it, shade it, and keep it cool for less. Book your free measure and quote today. Call 1300 662 742. Exclusions apply. At Spotlight, it's what you make it.
Hooked on Classics. Live Concert Spectacular comes to Festival Theatre Saturday, 3rd of October. Relive the excitement and let wonderful memories flow when Hooked on Classics, performed by a 28-piece symphony orchestra, brings all your classical classics to life. Book your Hooked on Classics tickets now from Festival Theatre.
At Coles, we're helping lower the cost of your weekly shop with great fresh offers. Like in-season Aussie strawberries, 250-gram punnet, 3 for just $5. Helping lower the cost of your weekly shop. Coles, good things, great value. Offer ends Tuesday.
Here at 5AA, we're all about supporting local.
Head to the Bay and start your week off at the Watermark. Enjoy $12 schnitties every Monday for lunch and dinner. Yep, $12 schnitties every Monday at the Watermark Glenelg.
Scrape your caravan? Walker Crash Repairs, an RAA-approved caravan crash repairer. This is Tony Pilkington.
It's a little after 10 to 2. This is National Safe Boating Week. If you love your boating, you'll understand the importance of things like preparation and safety and responsibility. And as I said, we're talking to a couple of gentlemen who know all about it, the media manager for the Department of Infrastructure and Transport, Paul Kermode, and Todd Graham, the manager of Boating Safety and Compliance with the department. And Paul, for you, we've got Don from Stonyfell has got a question. Don's on the line now. Hello, Donny.
Morning, gentlemen.
Your question, Don, is?
I'd like to ask two questions, if I may, please.
Yes, please. Go ahead.
One is, for this accident that happened down at Victor Harbour or down at the Murray Mouth, what would it cost to make a boat completely safe in that situation with what you need to have with the air perp and the also for the flares and jackets and the rest of it? And also, what is the formula for the safe loading of a boat? I see down at the Outer Harbour when I go down there, there's not much distance between the top of the water and where the water is and with the loading. And surely if it blew up in a storm, they'd sink.
Paul, the answer to those questions, please, if you will.
Mr. Larson, sorry. The cost, it depends on what equipment you have already that is compliant and so forth, and where you're planning on taking the boat, because, depending on where you're taking it, depends on the kind of life jacket you need. Todd, I'm not sure if you can help us out with, like, an indicative cost of the flares and the EPIRBs, for example?
Yeah, the cost will vary greatly depending on where you go and what size of vessel that you've got. The cost of fitting out a vessel to make it safe is quite small in comparison to the cost of a vessel itself. So it's a minor investment that we all have to make. I think EPIRBs retail for around about $400 something, depending. And then there's a large range of different types, and they can obviously go up. For bigger vessels and things like that, they can be very, very, very expensive. Now, the formula for capacity on vessels and things like that. All vessels that are modern and built in recent years have got what's called an Australian builder's plate on board, and it will actually stay on there the amount of people safely that it can carry. But if you've got a little bit of an older vessel, on the department's website, there's a formula that just basically shows the length of the vessel by the width of the vessel, and it will tell you how many people you can safely carry on that vessel.
Gentleman from Sally, an email. She said, haven't got a boat, but we'd love to now that we're heading towards the retirement years and more spare time on our hands. She said, what are the marina costs here in Adelaide, here in South Australia? Are they expensive? People have told her that in some cases they can be really exorbitant.
Yeah, look, absolutely. Marinas are again, not something that the department regulates or sets fees and things like that. So they'll need to contact the marinas around the state. And it varies. I mean, if you're an infrequent user or if you want to buy your own berth or lease a berth, the prices can vary.
Peter said, you mentioned before, safe boating means knowing the limits of your vessel. What exactly do you mean by that, Paul?
So that's basically making sure that the vessel you're using is appropriate for the activity that you've got planned. Yeah. So if you are wanting to circumnavigate Australia, just to belabor a point, I guess, you're probably not going to try and do that in your little tinny. That's not the right vessel for that. So that's clearly, that would be the wrong equipment or the wrong vessel to be using for that activity. So it's just making sure that, you know, the boat that you've got is appropriate for the activity that you're undertaking and the place where you would be, the region where you're intending to go.
You mentioned before, when you're planning a trip, whether it be an overnight trip or a day trip or something or other, tell an emergency contact where you're headed and roughly what time you'll be back. How do you actually go about that? And is there a designated person or organisation you should be contacting?
So that can just be as simple as friends or family. So I'm planning to go out today. I expect to be back by tea time tonight, by 6 o'clock tonight. If I'm not back and I haven't checked in with that person, they would know that something could have gone wrong. And the longer it goes past the deadline where I was supposed to be back, the more concerned they would be. And then they can get in touch with whoever needs to do to escalate that, if you like. It's just about... someone knowing where you're going is the main thing, and when you expect to be back.
Mark says, how many recreational boaters are there in Adelaide in this day and age? Has it increased over the years, or has it dropped off of recent times? Gentlemen?
Yeah, Paul, I think in South Australia we've got around 200,000 recreational boaters. I don't know that it's peaked or gone sort of two crazy different directions over the recent years. It seems to be staying pretty constant at the moment.
Alrighty. Josh, you got a question for the gentleman?
No, it's actually something to do with the Adelaide Crows.
Okay. Fellas, look, thanks for the time this afternoon. As you said, this is National Safe Boating Week. If somebody wanted to get more information, is there a website they can go to?
Absolutely. If they check out our website at ondeck.sa.gov.au, that's got information not just about this week, but about all they'll need to know about boating generally. So certainly please visit that. And, it's a very good resource for everything people need to know.
Paul and Todd, thanks for the time this afternoon. Good luck. As I said, this is National Safe Boating Week, and gee, it's important in lieu of what's happened in Adelaide over the last little couple of days or so. It's 2:03.